So I said thank you and welcome already. I'll say it again. If you're here for the first time with us, we're very happy you're here. We invite you to identify yourself if you'd like to in the chat. Also know that you may want to watch the chat throughout today as we are talking, as you are talking back and forth among yourselves, as we are enjoying this time together of prayers, of treatments, another word for prayer, of talk, of music, of good ideas. We'll be bringing forward to you lots of different things today, and we invite you just to kind of hang on for the ride. It should be fun. The theme for this month, which we have started today, is listening to your heart, that center, that soul center of yourself that we call heart. It's a center in consciousness as much as it is a center of our bodies and our physical center where from which and into which everything circulates. So as we enter this time, we do so with that theme. This all the way through this month, we'll be looking at listening to your heart. Actually, be listening to your heart. So I invite you to join me as we move forward into our ongoing celebration. Who we are and what we're about is best defined by our Declaration of Principle. And this you'll find on the screen in a moment. And I will read it. Invite you to read along if you so choose as well. I believe in one God, one absolute power and first cause to all things. I believe that this power is perfect love, and it creates out of a desire to express love. I believe all thought is creative, and how I choose to think creates my personal experience. I believe in the unity of all life and the immortality of the individual soul forever unfolding. I believe in the eternal goodness, the eternal loving kindness, and the eternal givingness of God to all. And so it is. So knowing that, I invite you then to consider our next step here. We have spiritual mind practitioners or science of mind practitioners who are licensed and certified folk in our group who are licensed to do work with you and for you in terms of prayer treatments or affirmative prayers. They are available. Some of the information will be on the chat. Others you can get through the website or by emailing me. And these amazing, wonderful people are in this space doing this because they've demonstrated an ability to work with the law, with spiritual law, and work with the heart, with spiritual love, to help you manifest that which is your greatest desire to do. They are wonderful support for your spiritual growth and wonderful opportunities, especially to help if you kind of get stuck or you feel like you're at a plateau. So today we have one of those with us, one of our co-leaders of the practitioners, who will be sharing with us and leading us in a further affirmative prayer. So I give you the most wonderful Judy Ailey.
Today's theme is Seat of the Soul, in line with our May theme of listening to our heart. And I've been thinking a little bit about the divisiveness of politics. You know, there are those out there that would have us believe that divisiveness is the predominant truth in the world. In our teaching, we know that at the heart of it, there is only oneness and unity. There is not something that is divided against itself out there. You know, sometimes this just feels like a spiritual sentiment that we know to be true at our heart and soul level, but it may not be as apparent in the physical world. But I get excited when I see places in the physical world where the divisiveness isn't there. And I was reading an article in the New York Times recently by David Brooks, and some of the things in that article demonstrated this for me. He stated that there are polls, you know, they take a lot of polls. Well, these are legitimate polls showing that the majority of people on both sides of the aisle, as they say, are in agreement about many of the things that are happening in the world right now. They're in agreement about such things as the social distancing that is happening. In the same article, he stated that polls indicate that a strong majority of people on both sides of things support the concept behind the bipartisan federal aid packages that have been passed. I'm not saying those have been executed perfectly. We know they haven't, but there is that mutual support behind that concept. There are also polls indicating that there's strong bipartisan support for the need for increased testing and the continuing need for some kind of social distancing. And I know that's shifting right now, and that's okay. It appears to me that there are a lot of folks out there who want to feed polarization, but that in the face of this pandemic, there is a new sense of unity and oneness being experienced. So I think that this pandemic has been a massive humanizing force, allowing us to see each other on a much deeper level than politics. We can see the love and the courage that we all have within. I think we're also being united by those who are sacrificing for the common good, the healthcare workers, the mask makers, the delivery people, the truck drivers, the brave politicians that may say statements that aren't so great for them politically, but they're saying it anyway. Those who continue to work in grocery stores or any part of the food chain, and many, many, many others. I see people all around me being their best selves. And the other thing that I hear is that we're standing at a portal to the future. And you know, we're always standing at that portal, right? But the thing that I keep hearing and keep seeing everywhere I turn is that people are saying, we're not going back to how it used to be. I'm sure you all have seen that too. These sentiments are hopeful to me. I think it is beginning to be the outpicturing of oneness and unity of life expressing. So back to today's theme, the seat of the soul. To me, this is about each of us aligning to source. It is about recognizing our inner power and presence that is our true nature, and that we are never separated from this inner presence. It is about aligning with truth. It's about listening to our inner spiritual voice and then taking actions and moving from that place of oneness and unity with source. So our work during this time of this unusual pandemic that we're all experiencing is to continue to do our daily spiritual practice, to be grounded in the power and presence of life itself. It is recognizing the divine something that resides at the center of our souls, the seat of our souls. It is that divine urge that recognizes truth and knows truth when it hears it. It has a purposefulness and a clarity. And I think that this pandemic is allowing this to express in new and deeper ways in the world that we see around us. Talk about a universal wake-up call. It's our unity with the divine that is being awakened in what we see going on in the world. There are those out there who sow seeds of separation and divisiveness, but I am seeing this as a great opportunity for a clear demonstration of oneness and unity by ordinary people just like you and me all over the world. In a recent 24-hour global streamathon, you may have watched part of it or seen some of it. It was called The Call to Unite, and it was filled with many people from the spiritual new thought movement. Musicians performed, went on for 24 hours. And there was, Oprah was part of it, of course, Oprah Winfrey. And this was what Oprah said. It's a very short quote. We are co-authoring the book of us. That's right. We are co-authoring the book of us. Truly, we are doing this all the time because the world that we see around us is a reflection of our collective consciousness. But perhaps now we have a bit more awareness of it. And for me, I'm interested in focusing on the good. So when I see places where people are coming together, are uniting, are putting their energy towards the good, that's where I want my focus to be, because I know where I put my focus and my energy, that's going to embellish it and it's going to continue to grow. So that's my message for the morning. So with that, I would like to lead us in a spiritual mind treatment. And we're going to go to the seat of the soul now. And I know Bob's going to be talking about this a whole lot in his talk. So if you will just get comfortable with wherever you are in your home or wherever you happen to be, find us today. If you'll just take a few moments to recognize and just allow yourself to know this with me. I'm going to do this in the first person as I know this for myself, but please accept it for yourself. I recognize and know that at the seat of the soul, at the seat of my soul, there is a perfect presence, a perfect power, a loving power and presence that is a power for good. I know that I'm completely immersed in this presence. It is all around me. It is the world that I see. It is every person. It is every situation. It is every piece of nature that vibrates with aliveness in the world. I know that this is this presence. This is God. And that this power is a power for good in the world. And I know as I become quiet today, I know that I am connected to this power. The very core of my being, my soul, is never separated from this. Because I am never separated from this power, I know that I have infinite possibilities at my fingertips. It's in the next thought that I have that I am connected to this potential that is powerful and good and allows me to create the life and the world that I want to participate in, that I want to be in. So I just take a moment to know for myself that as I plant seeds of joy, of peace, of happiness, of calm, of deep restful sleep, of vibrant health, of opulent abundance, and of a sense of knowing that all is well, that as I plant these seeds and these thoughts into this universal field that responds to me and outpictures back in the world and in my life as these things, as I focus on these things and know these things for myself, I know that this is the life that I experience. I know that today's service is a great gift to the world, is a great gift to those who are listening, and is a great gift to me, that I hear exactly the things that I need to hear, that I take with me new ideas, new ways of looking at things. I know that I am always connected to the power and source of infinite great ideas. I turn away from any ideas of fear, of doubt, of worry, of anxiety, of boredom. I turn away from all that and instead know that I am tapped in 100%, fully connected to this power, this presence that is all of life, that represents infinite possibilities. And I just take the time now and every day to know that this is my truth, that this is who I am. So I'm grateful for this moment. I'm grateful for this connection that I feel to Source and to the heart connection that I feel to those in the world around me. I am grateful for this. I release this treatment now, knowing that it is so, and so it is. All right. Please join me now in, we're going to hear a musical piece by Daniel Namod called Cornerstone. And you know, about Cornerstone, I just want to say one thing, that I think of this teaching as my cornerstone. So enjoy this beautiful piece by Daniel Namod.
Thank you, Doug, and thank you, Daniel Namod, Doug Moody, for gathering this for us and bringing it forward to share. Cornerstones. Seat of the soul. So I have a question for you. How do you know what's fake news? If you'd like, you can chat up your answer in the chat room, or you can just sit with this question because it's more a rhetorical question than not. I mean, in a world where we are told so many conflicting things, we need to stay put, we need to stay away from each other for the next eon, to it's okay to go out now, it's okay to start congregating, it's okay to start making shifts and opening businesses and doing those things. We have all kinds of conflicting information. If you're a person who looks for sneaky things behind the scenes, you may have seen some of the stuff that says, you know, this whole virus is a plot from the Chinese government. Or if not, you may simply recognize it, what other scientists are saying, and it's simply a virus that has mutated from animals to humans, and for whatever reason, it's doing it now. All kinds of crazy mixed messages. One message says wear masks, another says don't. One says wear gloves, another says don't. How in the world is any normal human being, assuming you're normal, able to work through or find your way through all of this nonsense, all of this sense? It may be sense, it may be nonsense. How do we know? How do we find it? How do we get there? Well, I'm here to share with you that the good news is we all have a built-in superpower that will allow us to see through all of this and to find where our voice is and where we stand. I'm not going to give you a list of websites to go to figure out what's fake news and what's not. And I'm certainly not going to tell you a formula or an idea that I may have come up with that fits for me. Because the truth is, if it's not true for you, it's not true. Sit with that a minute. So here's the answer, and you probably have already guessed it, those of you who've been around a while, and that is the seat of the soul. The soul itself is the place where all of that gets filtered and sorted. This teaching makes a great deal about soul. We talk about the soul all the time. We talk about spirit as that aspect of spirit, that aspect of God that creates and moves things forward and makes things happen and brings all of goodness of life into form and shape. And then there is that other aspect of spirit that is the receptor that takes those great ideas and turns them into actual events and feelings and things that happen. It's like the soil, part of the seed in the soil and the plant. You put the seed in the soil. Well, the soil has to be there, and it has to be rich and fertile in order to respond to the seed and provide the plant that grows out of that. And that soil, that place, is called soul. It is the aspect of us that is infinite, that is powerful, that draws from the infinite universe as it moves through our own consciousness to provide answers. And it's and living within it, working within it, using it, is a real art and practice that requires some repetition and requires some time and requires some focus to really make it useful for ourselves. You've all had experiences where something intuitive came up from your heart and it said, go this direction, go that direction. Years ago, when I lived in Florida, there was a certain turnoff from the main road that every time I drove by it, I felt this kind of, there's got to be something down that road. I don't know what that road is that keeps calling to me, but there's something there. It was intuitive. I had no reason to think there was anything down there except a bunch of houses, if that. Finally, one day, I took the time to turn down the road. And what I found at the end of the road was a tiny little park with an Indian mound dating back hundreds of years. And it became my go-to place for meditation and quiet practice. And it was part of the early civilization on this half of the U.S. that predated all of the Indian tribes and groups, but were a part of a national eastern half of the U.S. civilization built all around these small cities. And this has been a place where one of those small cities existed and where people came by canoe from up and down the west coast of Florida to do spiritual practice, to bury their dead, to celebrate the births, all of that. It was a rich place of great history. And I had no idea, but it called me to it. It was an intuitive sense coming out of my own soul and guiding me into that direction and that place. Now, the soul means lots of things to many people. And what I'd like to do is take a moment, more than a moment, to let you hear some definitions from some of the from some of our spiritual leaders throughout the movement of New Thought and similar things. So listen here as Oprah interviews a few folks.
What is the soul?
The soul is that part of you that existed before you were born and that will exist after you die. It's the highest, most noble part of yourself that you can reach for.
The soul, I believe, is the fingerprint of God that becomes a physical body.
Whoa.
I believe that. It's the fingerprint, you know, like if you put it on a piece of paper and it's unique to everybody.
Oh my goodness, does that not touch me in a powerful way? Did you just have that answer waiting?
Yeah!
It's the fingerprint of God
that becomes the physical body. Unique in its own development and expression, but filled with the divinity that is the essence of all that is.
The soul is the core of your being. It is eternal. It doesn't exist in space-time. It's a field of infinite possibilities, infinite creativity. It's your internal reference point with which you should always be in touch.
The soul is the spirit. It is the connecting line to God. I believe the soul is where the Holy Spirit resides. I believe that it is literally, you know, when you pick up the phone and that you have your, you know, your 4G network, the soul is the 4G network to write to heaven to me.
The soul is the spiritual essence of who we really are.
Soul is, I think, our capacity to see that our lives are about something more than simply the day-to-day, and that our lives, that we're here for a purpose, that it could be connected to religion or not, but that there is a purpose of your being here.
Well, to me, the soul is the part of us that never dies. It's who we are at our core, and it carries all the messages and the lessons that we've learned in the past, and will carry all the lessons and the messages that we will carry into the future.
The soul is your innermost being, the presence that you are beyond form, the consciousness that you are beyond form, that is the soul. That is who you are in essence.
The indwelling consciousness that watches mind come and go, that watches the heart come and go, the emotions of the heart, and watches the world pass before you. You, the consciousness, the center of being, is soul.
You with a capital Y.
Yes, you with a capital Y.
The soul is the birthless, deathless, changeless part of us, the part of us that looks out from behind our eyes and has no form.
Are we in the soul, or is the soul in us?
The soul is infinite, so there's no in or out of it. It is everywhere. There's no place that it is not.
For me, it's the truth of who we are, the light, the love, which is within us. It goes by different names, but the truth of us. Michelangelo said when he got a statue that he would go to the quarry and get a big piece of marble. And the way he imagined it, God had already created the statue. And his job was just to get rid of the excess marble. So that's what we're like. Inside is the being that God has already created. Some call it the Christ, the Buddha mind, the Shekinah, the light, the soul. And our job is to get rid of this excess, useless fear, thought forms of the world that actually hide the light of the soul.
The soul is the divine part of us. It is our divine nature. It is a part of us that is one with God. Everybody has a soul. It is the immortal, eternal part of ourselves.
Never dies?
Never dies. It's immortal. It belongs to God.
I believe that the soul is the essence of who and what we are. I personally believe that it transcends our leaving this mortal coil. And I think it comes with codes and possibilities and the next layers of who and what we may yet be. It is often a pain in the neck because it says, wake up, it's time to wake up, don't go to sleep. Mm-hmm. I think it is also the lure of our becoming. That's what I think the soul is.
Wow. Gotta take that in a minute. The lure of our becoming.
Yes.
How did you even come up with those words?
I don't know. I'm talking to you.
The lure of our becoming.
To you is
the lure of our becoming. Wow. That's fantastic. That's great.
Yes. Yes.
Yes.
So it's the lure of our becoming, among other and many definitions. I know that was a bit long, but I wanted you to hear all of the versions and how similar and how much they seem to all have grown out of this idea that Ernest Holmes came up with and others have talked about, that it is that aspect of ourselves that has no boundary between us individually and the universe or the universal. There is no boundary between my soul and the soul. That infinite knowledge and infinite presence and infinite reality that is God. The only difference in my soul and your soul and the infinite soul is that you or I are using certain aspects of soul in our lives, and they are taking expression as the body. It's the thumbprint, as Ivanya said, and in using part of that infinite soul, my individuality comes forward and shows up, but I'm not separate from the infinite soul in any way. So all of it is always available to me and always available to you when we take the time to pay attention. And frankly, even if we aren't taking the time to pay attention, it's still showing up and guiding and directing our lives. The soul comes to us and speaks to us basically in two ways. One is intuition, that sense I had when I felt that certain turn calling me, go down this road, see what's there. That thing that happens for you when you perhaps look at this particular house or go to a different particular place and you go, oh, this feels right. This is good. Or you hear or read an idea that just resonates inside of you, whether it's logically making sense or not. Or when you meet that special person and you go, wow, and you get so excited. Your heart turns on fire and you just can't, it doesn't matter what they say or what you think about them. The truth is they can do no wrong in that moment and in that next few moments till you find out later. But still, even then, your heart guides you in the right directions, and it always guides you towards the one or the ones who can teach you the most about life and teach you the most about love and teach you the most about yourself and the most about humanity. Trust when something opens up that comes out of your heart, comes out of that feeling, that intuitive sense of this is true, this is real. Yesterday, I had a moment. I had gotten a text from Lee, actually, sent me a text and said, the Blue Angels are coming over shortly. And I thought, well, that's interesting. I'm nowhere close to downtown, but I wonder. And then I thought I heard a noise. So I went out on my balcony and got out there just in time for the one flyover I got to see right over the top of the apartments. Took 2 seconds and they were gone. And I welled up with so much emotion in seeing that. I couldn't believe it. I thought, I'm a kid of the 60s. You know, we didn't do much about anything to do with authority and military and all of that, no matter, even though I have come to support and love the gifts that the people involved in that have given to us. In my years ago, I would always look at things like the Blue Angels with a bit of skepticism and snobbery. And yet there I was standing on my balcony boohooing like everybody else out there. On my balcony, on the balcony next to me, on the ground as we were watching. And there were a number of veterans who live in my end of the apartment complex who were outside, and they were all sniffling. And I thought, what is that? And then I realized my heart is opening up to the idea that we are one. It doesn't matter, as Judy said so well, which side of the aisle you're on, what your opinions and your thoughts are, when that powerful an expression of our unity, our solidarity, and our support and love for one another comes zooming by us with all of those horsepower, we're touched by it deeply. And that same thing is in our hearts always. We're always there and aware, and it's a possibility of being aware of our unity and our unitedness and our oneness. And sometimes we have experiences and expressions where it comes true to such an intense reality that the only thing to do is feel it and just let the feelings flood you and be there with you. You know, I've had the same experience a few times in Washington. I had the same experience the first time I stepped out onto the view from the trail going into Machu Picchu. I mean, there are times in our lives where we just see it. First time I stepped up to the rim of the Grand Canyon and went, oh my God, this is not something you can conceptualize, or a picture of it will show you until you stand there and you see the vastness and the power of that kind of living and that kind of life. So that intuition speaks to us in our hearts and our feelings and our souls. It also directs our thought. If you are constantly affirming, my thought, my mind, my life, my heart is guided by my soul, by the truth that matters to me, by what I want to see and accomplish and be part of, then you can trust the ideas that pop in, just the simple ideas without any particular dramatic connections, are that. They are the truth. A friend of mine said that, you know, around certain issues, he had done a great deal of treatment around it and done a lot of treatment. This has got to be the truth. He kept affirming the truth will show up. The truth will be the right decision. Nothing seemed to be coming from within his heart, and he had to make a decision. So he trusted that his treatment was true, that his affirming that this idea is the truth for me no matter what, and he spoke it, and he made the decision accordingly. It turned out to be absolutely right, because our minds, our thoughts are guided by the soul, because it's an infinite soul. It's where the collective consciousness of the human race is held. It's much bigger than the collective consciousness of the human race. It's also where our memories are held, as one of the speakers said. It is where everything that's been before or ever could be, and the wisdom of that is available, and it's available to us as wisdom. If I affirm there is something in me that knows, if I don't seem to know, there's something in me that knows, then wow. I can bring that forward with ease, with grace, with beauty, and trust that what's popping up is right. Now, we are in the beginnings of this return to normal, as they call it. I've never quite understood normal. I love what Cynthia said in her blog, that normal's a setting on a washing machine, and that's probably about all it is. That's about all we need to worry about. I used to say that to my folks when I worked in a treatment center, where everybody there is worrying about what's normal. What's normal? Well, it's a setting on a washing machine. And guess what? You're not normal, because you're not a setting on a washing machine, and you never will be. And the more we try to be or think about it, the more we become less than human, because human is not about being normal. Human is about being the individual expression of an infinite creator. That's what we're about. So leave normal to the washing machines. You know, and so as we face this time of return to whatever, which I don't think is a return to anything, I think it's a step forward into something new and better. There are a couple of authors I've been looking at and reading their blogs and their stuff online. I'm not necessarily recommending them as someone you may find true, but I have so far. One of them is Michael Vincent Gambutto, who is a writer. He's also a filmmaker and has done a lot of other things. And he talks about, in preparing to step into what's next, he calls what we are just going through and coming to the end of, we hope, as the great pause. not as the pandemic, not as all of this negative stuff, but it's a period of time where the whole world has taken pause. We've paused from our usual routines. Our businesses have been on pause. Our world has been on pause in so many ways. And now we're starting to hit the button to allow the pause to come back and people to start to do things and get back involved in life. So how much of the activities from the great pause do we want to bring into the great future? Because in the future, starting now, we may make different choices, especially if we listen to our hearts, our souls, as they guide us. This infinite wisdom that says, how much do we want to keep of this new awareness of the huge value of the people who serve us and serve one another through our food chain, through our businesses, through all of those things that we do? How much more valuable is that than some of the other places? Some of the other places that we put our money, where we put our payment. I've been gratified that so many of the sports people and other celebrities have just donated millions and millions of dollars to normal everyday people, abnormal everyday people, sorry, and are continuing to do that because they recognize the great bounty they have may be a little distorted from what we may choose it should be or want it to be. And I think where we are now is the opportunity for each one individually to think about and to make decisions about, intentional decisions, about how we're going to move forward. You know, we've demonstrated in this last 2 months that we as a human race can come together and effect huge change in the world in a positive way. The prediction in the beginnings of all of this was if nothing was done and it was left alone, we would lose 2.2 million people to death as a result of this virus. We took action as a human race. We uploaded, we upscaled our behaviors, our choices, our activities. And instead, in this country, we've lost, what, something over 100,000? It's still climbing, and there's nothing is okay about 100,000 people. But it's a far cry from what it might have been. And I think we need to give ourselves credit as individuals living our everyday lives for participating and choosing to create that kind of change in the world, that kind of difference. You know, and Gambutto goes on to say that if we choose the same way going forward, then our choices can have the same uploading power that this did in saving lives and in making a difference, in changing our values, in recognizing what really matters. See, in all of that, if we listen to it, it's coming out of our soul, our individual soul and the universal soul, which only wants to express itself. We say it at the beginning of every service, such is the nature of life that all at once is the opportunity to appear. So life appearing in greater and greater forms and activities and potential is what it's really all about. You know, and there's so much more, and there's so many other people writing about this. It's fascinating once you start looking for those kinds of articles instead of how many deaths and what's wrong and who did it wrong and who didn't do it wrong. So I want to close with one thing to let you take with you. And that is in enlisting the wisdom of the soul, enlisting the area of the soul that can really talk to us and guide us, there are four questions. Four questions I encourage you to ask each day. And if someone has the speed of typing to put it in the chat, that would be great. But here they are. First question. Who am I when I am at my best? Because that's when your soul is singing the loudest. Who am I when I'm at my best? Second question is the one we always get and we always dread. What am I, what can I let go of that no longer serves me? So much is about holding on to what no longer does in terms of that which blocks our flow, blocks us from hearing and connecting. So what can I let go of that no longer serves me? And this one's important. Do I give myself permission for a new beginning? Do I give myself permission? And actually, it's permission to step into that soul power, that sacredness of the soul power to guide you in a new beginning. Do I give myself permission to really do that? Sometimes we're afraid of that. We're afraid of what we might have to do or what we might think we have to do. But our souls never guide us into anything that is not doable or that isn't truly for us and compatible with us. And the last question is, what steps can I take today to awaken to my best version of myself? Those questions come from David G, who does a lot of work with meditation, does a lot of work with other kinds of teaching. And I would add to that simply one of those ways to learn to listen to your soul is to meditate. You may not hear anything during your meditation, but then as you get up and go on with your day, you may be guided in a way that's more profound and more simple. So thank you, and thank you to those who just put these in the chat. I would remind you that you deserve the very best of all of this because you're wonderful, and so am I, and so it is. So if you'll join me then for a few moments of meditation, I would invite you to simply close your eyes if you're comfortable, follow your breath, taking a good deep breath, letting it in, letting it out. Notice how it feels once it comes in and out. Notice that in the physical world, when your breath comes in, it surrounds your heart because it fills your lungs. And as it goes out, it releases and carries away anything that you no longer need. It brings in new life. It carries out whatever is no longer useful to you. And so in this gentle place, in this quiet place, I would ask you these four questions. Who am I when I am at my very best? What can I let go of that no longer serves me? Do I give myself permission to let go? Do I give myself permission to step into my soul power of new beginning? Do I give myself permission to step into my soul power of new beginning? And what steps can I take today to be the best version of myself? And so I trust the answers that arise from within my own wisdom, from my own soul, my own individual use of the infinite soul, knowing that I can never be guided in a wrong direction or to make a decision that doesn't lead me to my greater good in one way or another. So I accept that truth, I stand in that truth, and I let this be my truth as it is now God's truth. I let this be, and so it is. And now one of our newest board members, who is also known as the Reverend, who is a reverend in an independent organization or an independent New Thought minister. Actually, she is very clear and a very rich minister. She has a wonderful website, and she is a wonderful contributor to our board through the through our social media and the like. So without any further distractions, I give you Cynthia McSweeney. Cynthia McCarthy. McSweeney was at my church a long time ago, so McCarthy.
Thank you. That was a lovely introduction. Can everyone hear me okay? Good. So I wanted to share with you guys something that I saw online a couple days ago, an article about the Federal Reserve Chair. He was interviewed and he said that this is the worst economy in the history of recording the economy. And I thought, well, great. Isn't that good news? Yuck. And then I thought, well, what's the second worst economy? You know, we have the gift of history. Let's look back and see what we can learn. And of course, as you'd expect, it was during the Great Depression and the stock market crash. So I studied that and took a look at it. And did you know that more millionaires were made during the Great Depression than any other time in history? So that means that there were some people, some industries that thrived and prospered during that time. So here are a few examples. Hollywood actually thrived. They slashed the price of the movie tickets and really, you know, started making B movies and got people into the theater. Procter & Gamble invested heavily in their marketing, and they ended up prospering from that decision. During this time, it was a great opportunity to start a brand new business, because as businesses failed, they had to sell off their assets cheaply. So people were able to snatch up assets cheap and start businesses. So I share these examples with you because even though we are all, of course, faithful people who study New Thought principles and science of mind, we're also human. And it's easy for us right now to get bogged down with the fear and the enormity of the situation and our conditions that we're in. We know about the principles of abundance and prosperity, and we know that they're at work here. And when we have tangible examples to look at, it makes it a little bit easier for us to hold that truth in our consciousness. We shouldn't need the examples, but it's great when we have them. Because we can look at it and say, hey, if that industry or if that person did well and thrived financially, then I can thrive too. So it shows us the possibility. And when we get to that place of all things really are possible, then that's when the magic happens for us. So it's great that we have examples to go to. So I really just invite you to hold that idea in your consciousness. It's resting in your soul. It's all about soul today. So go to that place, look at those examples. I know that we are grounded in the principles of abundance and prosperity, that they're at work, bringing good and more good, not only to each one of us as individuals, but to our center. You know, it feels weird because we're all in our homes, all comfortable, but we are still a center for spiritual living. We still exist, and we are already starting to see the creative, unexpected ways that spirit is bringing our center abundance. So we are not just going to survive during this time. We are going to thrive. We are thriving. And that includes your giving. So I will put right now in the chat the ways that you can give. And we are going to, yes, thank you, Vance. We're going to read our affirmation of prosperity. I live in a universe of abundance. As I freely and joyfully give, I join in the divine flow, and all that I share with life returns to me multiplied abundantly. And so it is.